You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
NFL Total Access is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
It's Monday, April 8th, and you're listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast. That's as high as I think I've ever gone. I didn't even know I had that.
That is the voice, the falsetto soprano voice of today's special guest, an East Coaster who felt tremors of Friday's earthquake in his bones. Such is his deep, almost mystical connection to New Jersey and New York. He's the treadmill pounding, salad eating, never a hair out of place rockin' host of NFL Total Access, the broadcast, which you can catch weekdays 7 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network. He's the author of a children's book, which is about to become a series. He's certainly the smartest man in this room. Stephanie, notice I said man. He's the sweet potato kid, Mike Yam. Welcome back to the pod.
Let's roll, man. I'm pumped to be here today.
I'm your host, NFL Network senior writer Andrew Levy, and on today's show, starts a clock. It's our countdown to the 2024 NFL Draft, and we have found our way to a division many believe is currently the best division in the NFL, the AFC North. That's Ravens, Browns, Steelers, and Bengals. Interesting note about the AFC North, Mike Yam. It's the only NFL division in which none of its members have hosted a Super Bowl, which
wow,
kind of makes sense when you think about climate, stadia and weather in this division. But they don't care, because the Steelers have won six of them, six Super Bowls. The Ravens have won two. The Bengals have flirted with NFL supremacy on multiple occasions. And the Browns are actually tied for third in NFL history with eight championships in all. Pre-Super Bowl, yes. Ask any old-timer in Cleveland if they care about that distinction. All in all, AFC North is a winning division, and 2023 proves it. Three playoff teams came out of the AFC North a season ago. Only the Bengals didn't make the postseason, and yet they still managed to post a winning record. Mike Yam, this is the division of Jack Lambert and Jim Brown, of Anthony Munoz and Chuck Knoll and Ray Lewis, terrible towels and terrible weather, and terribly devoted and proud and ferocious fan bases. Where does your mind go when you think of teams and games and atmosphere in the AFC North?
Oh, it's got to be Pittsburgh. I mean, I think about the towels and the whole thing just kind of rocking. Now, it doesn't mean to say that I think the Steelers are the best team in that division, but if you're talking about atmosphere, history, tradition, my mind immediately goes there.
Okay, Mike Yam, your job today is to set the scene. We're going to hear from AFC North fans. We're going to detail team needs and draft picks and a few bold predictions, too. Our buddy Bridget Condon is going to stop by with five things we can't miss this season in the AFC North. But first, let's talk about the good and the bad, the strengths and the weaknesses, the superpowers and the Achilles heels for each AFC North team, starting with the defending champion, Baltimore Ravens. Mike, what is the best thing about this Ravens team?
They are the best team, not named the Kansas City Chiefs, in the NFL. And I will be honest with you, I think with Derrick Henry, he is the missing piece. I felt like they were the team to beat last year before the season started. I thought there was a chance for Lamar Jackson to be the MVP. I'm never right, so when I am, I will flex and say Lamar was that guy. Two designed runs in that playoff loss at home against Kansas City for Lamar Jackson going to haunt Todd Monken and that fan base. But I think when you see the king in your backfield and you're calling plays, that mistake is not going to be duplicated again.
Okay, that's the best thing. What's the worst thing? What's the worry for this team heading into the new season?
Just, I think, overall changes to their roster. So for as much as they are bringing in with a Derrick Henry, OBJ certainly not there. You're seeing some tweaks also to that team's defense. Mike McDonald no longer their defensive coordinator. And to me, that's huge. We saw the impact that Philadelphia had when they lost both of their coordinators. That's certainly not the situation that Baltimore finds themselves in. But I do think team identity, if you said to me, hey, what's more meaningful, losing your DC or your OC in Baltimore coming off a successful campaign? I always think about running the football and defense as that team's identity. They always figure it out, and I think they will right now. So I'm actually turning negative into slightly less negative.
Let's turn to a team that would love to get rid of this moniker, the mistake by the lake, the Cleveland Browns, who won 11 games in 2023, good for second in the AFC North. Other than resilience, what is their biggest strength?
I think coaching is their strength. Can I just throw something your way?
Yes,
before
please.
I got in here, did you know, and I didn't see this transaction. I'm almost embarrassed because maybe some of our fans who are diehards are like, yeah, you get paid to do this and you didn't know this happened. Tyler Huntley is no longer a member of the Ravens.
Yes.
He is with the Cleveland Browns. And I don't know how I missed that, but before I got out here, I knew we were talking about this division. I'm going through the depth charts. I said, wait a second. What page am I on? Oh, this is the Browns page? When the hell? I missed that one. To me, it's really significant because when you talk about what this team brings, I love what they have on the sidelines. I think when you lose the revolving door of quarterbacks that they did and yet still had 11 wins, still found themselves into the postseason, still found dramatic ways to get it done. Joe Flacco coming off the bench, the whole thing.
Coming off the couch.
Coming off the couch. You're right.
Right.
I think their biggest asset is what they have in terms of coaching on the sidelines. Honestly, I mean, you can go with Stefanski as their head coach, Jim Schwartz, what he does as a defensive coordinator. I think it's truly remarkable. I am really concerned, though, heading into this season because the reality is Deshaun Watson is got to be their guy. And there's something missing in terms of that chemistry between head coach. Like, I don't know how they're a better football team when Deshaun is not out on the football field. They paid him a ton. That's my biggest concern heading into the year for them.
So the biggest weakness then is the uncertainty that 100%. Comes with saying, okay, Deshaun, you're back. You're healthy. Lead us. Because we're not quite certain what that means, and we're not quite certain where he will lead this team. Do you sense that this is a playoff team?
No.
You don't?
No, because...
You're expecting a dip in form.
So I think
they're due for a decline.
Here's what I will tell you. 19 out of the last 21 seasons, you see team go from last to first in a division. They clearly weren't first, and they definitely weren't last. My point is, I think there was an argument to be made a year ago that the AFC North was the best division in all of football. I think there's an argument heading into this season that the AFC North is the best division in all of football. I don't see the Ravens taking a step back. And I got to be honest with you, the Steelers to me are a team on the rise. And the Cincinnati Bengals figure out ways, and they got it done without Joe Burrow. If Joe Burrow is healthy, and I don't know if you're going to ask me for a surprise pick, like I would say that, hey, maybe this team makes a run in the postseason. By law of averages, that's why I think Cleveland takes a step back.
Steelers refuse to have losing seasons under Mike Tomlin. Yep. Last season, no exception. But off-season storylines, obviously dominated by the acquisitions of Russell Wilson for a song and Justin Fields for depth.
Yep.
Or so we thought. If we're putting together a pros and cons list for this team, what's the biggest pro?
Mike Tomlin. God, am I loving up coaches out of nowhere?
I can't disagree with you. In fact, I can't agree with you more. I love Mike Tomlin. We've talked about this on this pod before.
Can we rewind for a second here? Because I said coaching staff for Cleveland, and I have him on the outside looking in. What's your win, your pro from a Browns perspective before we circle back to the Steelers here?
The pro from a Browns perspective, arithmetic.
Okay.
That they have to be due at some point. a returning Nick Chubb. The sensation that a defense led by Jim Schwartz and Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith is going to keep them in games long enough that if Deshaun Watson can be the Deshaun Watson that they pay him to be, that they could be anywhere from a 10 to 13 win team.
Yeah.
So that's the pro, but that pro is all contingent upon things falling into place. So it's rather, it's rather tenuous, isn't it?
No question. And I think that circles back from a Steelers perspective, because I said, hey, law of averages, you're talking about, just a natural dip when other teams have added pieces. Mike Tomlin has figured out ways. If you said to me short list of guys that you would want coaching your team, I got to be honest, I think most fan bases would have Mike Tomlin on that list. So there's that aspect, which is a pro. The other pro is they didn't get crazy production from the quarterback spot a year ago. And I understand team identity. I said for Ravens, run the football on defense. I'd make the same case from a Steelers perspective, but I do think that changes. Russ does bring a certain amount of cachet, experience, and dare I say leadership. I don't think he's your starter for the bulk of the season. Maybe he's not even in week one. I do think a change of scenery, and my God, unleashing Justin Fields with some of the weapons that they have. This is a better offensive line in Pittsburgh than it was in Chicago a season ago. Pickens, I think, is certainly one of the premier wide receivers in the game. Can Najee Harris find that form from a few years ago? Like, there's enough here A new play caller in Arthur Smith, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson now in the fold. Like, he's been productive. I like this Steelers team. I do. I really do.
Okay, for every pro, there is a con. What is it in Pittsburgh?
Can you get over the hump?
Yeah.
I know I'm praising it, but at the same time, I'm like, at what point do we say, yo, are we going to get to an AFC championship game? Are we going to get to a Super Bowl? We're going to win these games? The margins are so thin. Ask fans in Buffalo, because for every single year we've said, hey, the Bills are one of those teams. The Bills are one of those teams. They've been so close, and yet they don't get over the hump. And at some point, the clock expires. And I don't, dare I say, it's happened right now. I know all of our analysts, you'll hear Brian Baldinger and Michael Robinson, all these guys will love up Bills Mafia because of Josh Allen. What I would tell you is, there's got to be a massive pivot in what you see offensively for that team, because it's a cap management situation for them. And I know this is an AFC North conversation, but if you're asking me from a Steelers perspective, how long can you keep this going? Omar Khan deserves a ton of credit. You have two premier, one premier, maybe 1.5. How about we split the edge here? 1.5 premier quarterbacks. Because I don't know how we view Russ at this point. I think Justin Fields is really good. So if you take the aggregate, you got to feel confident one of these guys can get it done. They're spending about $4 million in their quarterback room.
Yeah, it's extraordinary.
I mean, are you effing kidding
Omar
me?
Khan, of That's course, ridiculous. The GM of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he is very likely a genius for what he pulled off this offseason. Finally, let's turn to the Cincinnati Bengals. They did finish last in the AFC North a season ago, and that speaks to just how good this division is. The Bengals worked their way into the conversation with the Chiefs and the Bills and the Ravens as the AFC's best team of the past few seasons, even made that Super Bowl run. Mike Yam, where do they stand now? What's the good in orange and black? What's the best thing about this team on the banks of the Ohio River?
Okay, I feel like the guy who shouldn't be making this claim, because you can't talk smack about one team. I don't know if I've talked smack, but you can't talk smack about one without recognizing the faults of another. And I feel like I've given a pass to Joe Burrow, because I would tell you, Joe, my Lord, Joe Cool is...
He's their strength. He's their best thing.
He's an elite
quarterback. He's their prized asset.
What the real conversation needs to be is, are we giving him too much of a pass? Because this is a guy who hasn't been able to, generally speaking, stay healthy for an entire season.
Yeah.
For as good as he's the pro,
but the reason
that's
that
the
we give him a pass is that when he is healthy,
oh my God,
he seems automatic.
Yeah.
He seems to deliver the most accurate ball in the entire NFL, and I don't think any quarterback would actually push back on that. I think he is he is a ball machine. He is super, super accurate. He has the ability to keep his poise in the pocket, even when it's collapsing around him. He's a special dude.
At their peak, it's Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow in the NFL. I'm sorry, Jalen Hurts fans. I'm sorry, insert quarterback. Josh Allen fans. That's how I see it.
You're sorry, Lamar Jackson fans. And finally, if Bengals fans are stressing about something, what is it? What's the thing that could prove to be this team's undoing?
From an offensive line standpoint, they tried to make some additions. The Orlando Brown, which was taking a strength from your opposition, a team that you're trying to beat in Kansas City, and make it into a plus, I think that certainly helped. But at the end of the day, this team has not been able to run the football effectively. And there's been such a reliance on the passing game. And to me, one of the sly, shrewd moves is Zach Moss getting inserted into this lineup. I love it. Last year, right before the trade deadline, we had to come up with like our fictitious deals that you want to see happen. He was running wild in Indianapolis. And I said, the deal that I want to see is Zach Moss go to Baltimore. That's 1A. 1B is I want to see Zach Moss in a Cincinnati uniform.
Bengals
and
uniform.
Now I'm getting it.
Yeah,
and I'm going to turn a negative into a positive here and say, hey, if I'm concerned about added dimensions to that offense, can you effectively run? I think the jury's still out, but with the insertion of Zach Moss, theoretically, you should be able to thrive.
After the break on NFL Total Access, the podcast, Mike Yam will give us a predicted order of finish in the AFC North this season.
Do I have
to? He'll answer some rapid-fire questions about this division that he was very likely not prepared to field. Plus, Bridget Condon will be here with five things in the AFC North we cannot miss in 2024. That's coming up next on NFL Total Access, the podcast.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Yeah.
You are listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast. Andrew Levy with the Sweet Potato Kid, Mike Yammon. Today, our countdown to the 2024 NFL Draft has reached the AFC North. Now, Mikey, before you jet, if we were to give out awards by division, who is the AFC North MVP?
Can I go back-to-back? No. You know what? Lamar was the guy last year. I'll do Derrick Henry.
Who is the offensive player of the year?
Damn, I'll do Lamar Jackson.
So let the record show that Jamar Chase and yes, Joe Burrow and Nick Chubb and all these guys were
ignored. Bad job by me.
Who is the defensive player of the year? Very difficult to choose in a division boasting T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett and Roquan Smith and Trey Hendrickson. Who's the best of the bunch?
I think Watt's the premier defensive player in
T.J.
the NFL.
Watt. Who is the coach of the year? Who's the best coach in this division? Is it Tomlin? Is it Harbaugh? Is it Zach Taylor? Is it Kevin Stefanski? Who is the reigning coach of the year?
You know what? I'm going to roll with Zach Taylor because I think they go from last in that division. They're back into the postseason, and you haven't asked me for the finish yet, but I'm going to have them high.
Best atmosphere in this division?
I got to go Pittsburgh again.
Best uniform in this division?
All blacks, Baltimore. No matter if you're slow or fast, you look fast in the all blacks when you're wearing them.
Okay, now we turn to who will be the best team. Predicted order of finish in the AFC North this season, Mikey M. We won't hold you to it tomorrow, but what are your thoughts today?
Ravens won. I think the Ravens are getting to a Super Bowl this year. I think Derrick Henry is the missing piece. I will go Cincinnati 2, Pittsburgh 3, and I alluded to the dip for Cleveland.
A big round of applause for today's special guest, Mike Yam. You're good at this, buddy. We appreciate
you
very
much. You're the best,
man. We interrupt this podcast to bring you five things you cannot miss in the AFC North this season, courtesy of our good friend Bridget Condon. Welcome back, Bridget. Nice to see you.
It feels like decades since we last sat here. Thank you for having me back. I'm super excited. A lot to be excited about. And, yeah, clean slate, 0-0, everybody's game.
Before we move on, you're wearing an NC State hoodie. Now, listen, your JMU Dukes put my Wisconsin Badgers out of the tournament, and now you're coming in here with NC State love.
Well, I love the women. Let's not get it twisted.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, the men, DJ Burns, we all love him.
You did live in Raleigh.
I did live in Raleigh for four years. You were regionally appropriate here. Yes, and shout out to the women, shout out to women's basketball, everything that's happening. I love the movement. Join the train. I hope everybody has been loving watching college basketball, specifically women's basketball.
Oh, dude.
Let's go,
amazing.
Women.
It's amazing. Bridget, of course, during the season, brings us five things we may have missed from the previous week, but we couldn't wait till the new season to have you back on, so let's have it. Five things we better not miss this season in the division on today's radar, the AFC North. What you got, Bridge?
Let's start with a battle everyone cannot miss, okay? Steelers, battle in the quarterback room, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields.
I love it.
The plan is for Wilson to be the starter when training camp rolls around. Will he be the starter week one? We know that this is a Mike Tomlin team that used Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, Mitch Trubisky last year. Okay, so you're telling me if things aren't going absolutely perfect for Russell Wilson, he's not going to look and be like, ooh, this guy, Justin Fields, ooh. I mean, this is a battle you have to see. They're the only two quarterbacks. This is kind of interesting. I don't think that they should brag about this, but the only quarterbacks to lose 25 or more games and win fewer than 20 games since 2021. Both averaged two longest times to throw the ball in the NFL last season, and the only two quarterbacks that have been sacked more than 130 times since 2021. But, okay, to flip it, that was all negative. Let's give some positivity,
yeah,
right?
We're without about a doubt, which is easy movement to find with these two.
Yeah, exactly. The Steelers have had just 25 passing touchdowns since 2022. Fields and Wilson both have more passing touchdowns by themselves since 2022. So,
yeah, and I think those dire numbers, I think those dire numbers attached to Russell Wilson and to Justin Fields
extend beyond them.
Look, no disrespect to the Broncos or the Bears, but this is a function of the teams that they were on, I should think, more so than their individual skill sets and some perceived decline, certainly in Russell's case, of skill set. Very exciting. No, you're absolutely right. The quarterback battle of all quarterback battles in the NFL this year absolutely is in the AFC North. It is in Pittsburgh. Tomlin reinventing a Steelers team, very exciting. Did you have a gut call right now? Russell starts week one and keeps the gig, or do you expect us to see a platoon, or do you expect Justin Fields to overtake?
I don't necessarily think there needs
Russell before.
I don't think there needs to be a huge blow up with Russell. Like, I don't think I don't want to wish ill on him.
Of course not.
I just think Justin Fields didn't get a lot of credit okay, for what he was doing, especially in the second half of last season. I think he is very underrated right now and going to surprise a lot of people. And I hope that Justin Fields has his moment in Pittsburgh.
I wanted Justin Fields in D.C. with Washington. I wanted Mike Tomlin in D.C. with Washington.
With Arthur
there
Smith's offense.
There they are in Pittsburgh.
I think he'll do great.
Okay, so that's one thing we cannot miss this year in the AFC North, and I am here for it. Russell Wilson versus Justin Fields. What else you got, Bridge?
All right, you know who the leading rusher is in the NFL? I'll tell you, Derrick Henry. You know who the leading rushing quarterback is in the NFL? I'll tell you, Lamar Jackson. Will get ready because King Henry and Lamar Jackson, that 1-2 punch is coming. Imagine being a defender. You look across, you see Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, as if this Ravens offense wasn't brutal enough for defenders, you know, last season. Now you add a guy who has ran for over 1,100 yards for the past five seasons.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing that worries me a little bit is their offensive line. But, I mean, the Ravens haven't had a running back with 1,000 yards rushing since Mark Ingram 2019. Here comes King Henry. Here comes King Henry to a new team. Here comes King Henry to Baltimore with Lamar Jackson. Ravens fans, how does that sound?
I tell you how it sounds to the opposition, which you intimated. It sounds terrifying because imagine a 2nd and 4. Imagine a 2nd and 4.
What are they going to do? Where
with
are you
12
line up?
Personnel, Mark Andrews is back and another tight end, and you've got Derrick Henry back there. Oh, and Lamar Jackson, reigning MVP, two-time now MVP Lamar Jackson. What do you do on 2nd and 4 against this team? What do you do on 3rd and 1? What do you do against this team when you simply don't know what's coming? But you know that whatever's coming is potentially very, very dangerous. I love that. When I didn't see the Derrick Henry to Baltimore move coming. I have to be honest with you. I didn't sort of predict that. I didn't see that coming. And when I heard about it, I thought, wow, that seems seismic. That is so significant. And I'm so thrilled, actually, for Derrick Henry to be playing in this offense. And I'm thrilled for Lamar Jackson to be able to have a guy like that behind him. It makes this very interesting. Todd Monken has options for days. That's the second thing we cannot miss and we will not miss in the AFC North this year. What's number three?
Joe Burrow being healthy.
Okay. Are you telling us that he's going to be healthy? Because, man, it's a better NFL when he is.
In March, he said he expects to be fully cleared by May. We're in April right now.
Yeah, we are.
We're going to hear from him soon.
Okay,
and we better see him out there on that field, because we talked a lot during this season about five things you may have missed, and a lot of it included Taylor Swift. And we understand that there's been a lot of new NFL fans, and we love them, and hopefully they're listening to this podcast. We know they are. We know a lot of these listeners are, you know, they know their stuff when they listen to the
absolutely.
TA podcast. So maybe you guys never said this, but a lot of people came up to me and they were like, what happened to Joe Burrow? Why is no one talking to Joe Burrow? We're talking Brock Purdy. We're talking Lamar Jackson. We're talking Patrick Mahomes. Joe Burrow must have fallen off. People forget. He got hurt.
Yeah, kid was
injured. He got hurt.
Kid was injured for the second straight season. He started the season injured in back-to-back seasons. Not a great way to do anything in the NFL when you're not feeling it, when you're not 100. But yes, so something to look forward to. And man, your lips to God's ears, because I really do hope that Joe Burrow can have a 17-start regular season, maybe a 16-start. Yep. They're in such good position. He sits in week 17.
Right.
But it's a better Bengals team. It's a better NFL. And let's be honest. Let's remember, listener, the Bengals were 9-8 last year in a down season, in a down year, in a year in which Joe Burrow was injured. They still managed to have a winning record. This is a team just outside the club, just busting to get in. And I have full expectation that they will be back in the club. That club, of course, being the postseason club. And you never know when you have a guy like Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, what could happen if you do get into the postseason?
And, I mean, he was on a streak before he got injured. Remember, like you said, a little low in the
kid's
beginning.
Outrageous.
They had won four out of their past five before he got injured. T. Higgins gets the tag, okay? You know, he could get traded, right? They have until July to sign it, agree to a long-term extension. But this could be the last Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins season. This is a win-now moment for the Bengals. Of course, they lost Joe Mixon. Bring in Zach Moss. How about the tight end, Mike Gesicki, though? You know, they bring him in. Is this the season? Is this finally the season for the Bengals with a healthy Joe Burrow? Is he going to have training camp, all of training camp, all of the season to say, hey, guys, stop talking about Josh Allen. Stop talking about Patrick Mahomes. Joe Burrow is that guy. You can't miss it.
The third thing we cannot miss in the AFC North, a healthy Joe Burrow and what that does to the fortunes of a fascinating Cincinnati Bengals team, which Bridget said is going to be in win-now mode. So all that's left to do, Cincinnati Bengals, is, you know, win now. Okay, what's the fourth thing?
Well, you know what's going to make it hard is this Browns team. These last two are dedicated to the Browns. Nick Chubb return, okay? I was there at the game. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, he hurts his knee, that same knee that he hurt back in 2015 in college. He has to go through repairment for his ACL, his MCL. God, this guy's story, the way he worked back from that injury in college, the way he is just such a bowling ball, but such a nice guy, a guy you want to go talk to in the locker room. And then it just ends while he was on such a hot streak. He's rushed for over 6,500 yards through six seasons. 5.3 yards a carry. This guy is incredible, and he wants to play. He is working back. Some reporting came out this week that he's not expected to be ready by week one. Probably not, but they do expect him back at some point this season, and that is going to be emotional. When he got injured, the entire stadium went quiet. And you know how the Browns and the Steelers, you know, they're rivals.
Yeah.
Everybody was quiet in Pittsburgh because
of the impact.
Yeah,
it was a heartbreaking
thing.
It was a heartbreaking moment. And the aforementioned Derrick Henry, you can talk about Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs, but man, you can make a very lucid argument that I'd be hard-pressed to push back on that Nick Chubb is, in fact, the best running back in the NFL if and when he is healthy. Hey, Nick Chubb, I know you're listening. You got nothing better to do. I know you're listening right now.
He's a loyal listener.
We are hoping for your immediate and instant impact when you return as soon as possible. Come back when you're ready, and only when you're ready. But when you are ready, man, we cannot wait to see you out there. All right, Bridge, that's four things. What is the fifth thing we will not, cannot, should not miss in the AFC North this year?
This is a story, right? This is, you go into the cinema, you sit middle, not front row because you don't like front row, but, you know, a couple rows back, I want to be watching this story. You know, I'm buying it as soon as the premiere happens.
Okay.
Deshaun Watson's return. There are so many question marks that we have about Deshaun Watson. What is it going to look like? Will he live up to the expectations of that massive trade that the Browns made with the Texans to get Deshaun Watson? He's now entering his third season. He said he'll be ready to play week one. The Browns go out, they get Jameis Winston, Tyler Huntley, DTR still on that roster. 39-year-old Joe Flacco took this team to the playoffs. I mean, Deshaun Watson, what are you going to do? Is this the end of your story? What does the next chapter look like? You're finally in a season where you're not worried about, you know, the suspension. You're not worried about the injury. You have had the time in the system to learn the playbook. What now? What are you going to do?
Yeah, what now? Indeed, that really is the question. And truth be told, it's the question we've been asking ourselves now for two straight seasons with Deshaun Watson. He may not get another opportunity after this one if this one goes pear-shaped. So Deshaun Watson, the hopes and the expectations and the burden of responsibility, and yes, the spotlight and a lot of criticism and a lot of doubts, they're all coming your way, as they have been. You're used to it by now. What we would like to be used to by now is to see what you are at your best in a Cleveland Browns team that clearly has the chops, even without you, to make a playoff run. But they let Joe Flacco go. They did not re-sign Joe Flacco with 10 bases. And Bridget Conner, thank you so much for drawing our attention to five things we cannot miss in the AFC North this season. Bridget Conner, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. I can't wait to get the season going, baby.
After the break, team-by-team draft needs and draft picks, along with uncensored hot takes from AFC North fans. That's right, we're back in the NFL Hall of Fans. Cue the music. Kill the music. It's NFL Total Access, the podcast, and it's coming right back next.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Yeah.
You are listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast. Andrew Levy at your service, and it's finally time. Coop, let's hear it. Restart that clock and continue our countdown to the 2024 NFL Draft presented by Bud Light. Round one, Thursday, April 25th. That's what, 17, 18 days from now, but we're putting AFC North teams on the clock today, right now, starting with the defending division champion, Baltimore Ravens. In 2023, the Ravens were 13-4, division champs. NFL.com identifies Ravens' team needs as inside of the O-line, offensive tackle, edge rusher, wide receiver, and safety. They have 9 picks with which to address their needs, the 30th overall pick in the first round. They've got 1 pick in the second, a third rounder. They've got 2 in the fourth. They have a fifth rounder. They have a sixth round pick, and they have 2 in the seventh. With that in mind, let's throw open the doors to the NFL Hall of Fans and invite in Ravens fan Matt, one of my dearest friends. In Matt's perfect draft, a massive quarterback and wide receiver run from other teams in the NFL push an elite offensive lineman or edge rusher down to the 30th position. Otherwise, they trade their 30th pick to a team that wants a quarterback at the bottom of the first, and then they draft a physical wide receiver like Malachi Corley or Keon Coleman in the second round, or the top cornerback available. But in Matt's perfect draft, his Ravens come away with 2 or more wide receivers, 2 to 3 O-linemen, 2 or more D-backs, an edge rusher, and, wait for it, quarterback Joe Milton, who happens to be Anquan Boldin's cousin, to be Lamar's backup. Matt's biggest source of pride as a Ravens fan, continuing the legacy of a defense that in this league that continues to change the rules to favor the offense, continues to dominate. Roquan wants to be this generation's Ray Lewis, Matt says, and he plays like it. Matt also gives special mention to Kyle Hamilton, who he calls a unicorn that always finds himself around the ball. And, of course, an all-pro selection in his second year. Amazing. He also says new defensive coordinator Zach Orr, don't forget, is a product of this system. So this defense shouldn't miss a beat. Matt's biggest concern, he said, Lamar always makes our O-line look better than they are. But he said, trust me, those of us on the inside know that the O-line is the weakest personnel that we've had in years. He said Linderbaum would start at center for any team, but Ronnie Stanley can't stay healthy, and they lost 3 other starters to trades or free agency. He said all the top free agents that could have been replacements signed elsewhere, so the team is left with in-house solutions and any potential picks they make in April's draft. It could work out, but this is a risky approach, so says Ravens fan Matt. Let's turn to Ravens fan Mac, who says the perfect draft for him, O-line fixes and edge rushers, plus get deep in the secondary because we always get injured there. Mac's biggest source of pride, this defense. There's a common thread. A defense that keeps getting better despite Mikey Mac, Mike McDonald, leaving for Seattle. Zach Orr, he says, proves his worth this year. The offense now dominates on a different level with Derrick Henry. All of those things, sources of pride for Ravens fan Mac. His biggest concern, the offensive line, there's another common thread, and the fact that he says this offense needs to take the next step, needs to be feared like Mahomes in the fourth quarter. Question is, will they be? Ravens fan Ben says his perfect draft sees Amarius Mims fall a little bit and allow them to grab this young, high-ceiling offensive lineman at 30. Now, if he's gone, option number 2, Penn State's Chop Robinson. Ben says in the second round he'd like to target a high-ceiling wide receiver prospect. They can actually afford to be creative here, so he's thinking guys like Javon Baker or Ricky Pearsall. Ben's biggest source of pride, defense, defense, defense. I think if you ask 100 Ravens fans, you may get 100 answers exactly the same. Roquan Smith and Kyle Hamilton get name-checked by Ben. Despite short tenures, he says, they already embody the traits that all the previous Ravens greats before them showed. His biggest concern, that Todd Monken gets a little too cute with the pass game and doesn't utilize Derrick Henry to his fullest ability. He says, while the offense shouldn't see a total shift with King Henry in the backfield, Ben is concerned that after that playoff loss, Monken may not be fully committed to the run when it matters most. And finally, I asked these Ravens fans to finish the following sentence. I wouldn't be surprised if my 2024 Baltimore Ravens did what? Here are a few answers. This is the year Lamar Jackson shuts up the naysayers and brings a Lombardi trophy to this city. Boom. There you go. Another said that Lamar makes good on his draft day promises and, yes, delivers a Super Bowl to Baltimore. Why? Because the defense is better than outsiders seem to think. And the losses of Patrick Queen and Mr. Stone will have little impact. That same Ravens fan, though, parenthetically said, I also wouldn't be surprised if my Ravens lose to the Texans in the divisional round or the championship round. He said, don't forget, if they meet in the playoffs, it'll be the fourth time C.J. Stroud will have played my Ravens in 2 years. And finally, another Ravens fan said, I wouldn't be surprised if my Ravens win the chip, dominate on both sides of the ball. And yes, he also added parenthetically, I'm hoping for a sophomore slump out of C.J. Stroud. Isn't that interesting? Ravens fans are worried about the Texans. Let's turn now to the Cleveland Browns, who were 11-6 in 2023. Team needs, according to NFL.com, offensive tackle, linebacker, defensive tackle, wide receiver, and tight end. Only 5 draft picks with which to address their needs. They have a second rounder, a third rounder, a fifth rounder, 1 in the 6th, and 1 in the 7th. With that in mind, let's head back out to the NFL Hall of Fans to hear from Browns fans like Scott, who said his perfect draft, when you consider how many injuries we had last season, is to get some depth on the D-line. That is a must. They re-signed most of their D-line, but all of these guys are coming off of serious injuries. He'd like to grab the defensive tackle from Texas, Devontae Swift, in the second round. His biggest concern? Deshaun, who better be great again, he said. And if they mess with my boy Nick Chubb, he's personally going to punch Jimmy Haslam in the mouth. Wow, he said that, and I read it. I don't know how I feel about him saying it or me reading it. Browns fan Evan says his perfect draft involves any wide receiver with their second round pick. He'd love Ladd McConkey or maybe even Troy Franklin. His biggest source of pride? Outside of Nick Chubb remaining with the Browns, he said, it would have to be having the same head coach now for 4 straight years. Don't forget, 2 of those years, he won Coach of the Year. Deshaun will always be the number one concern for Evan. But he also adds the loss of Bill Callahan as something to track and the health of the offensive tackles. Browns fan Todd, known as Mossy to his friends, said the perfect draft involves getting Ladd McConkey in round 2. There's that name again. Browns fans circling for Ladd McConkey. And he said, look, trade up to get this guy if we need to. His biggest source of pride, that Nick Chubb is still a member of the Cleveland Browns. And, of course, his biggest concern, you're going to hear this a lot from Browns fans, whoever you talk to, Deshaun Watson. Mossy says the fact that we didn't bring Joe Flacco back says a great deal about him and possibly his head. He's talking about Deshaun Watson there. He said clearly Kevin Stefanski doesn't want Deshaun Watson looking over his shoulder or hearing chants to bring Joe in off the bench. And finally, these Browns fans wouldn't be surprised if... Well, one says, if we miss the playoffs, because our offense is just too inconsistent. Another said, if we finish last in the AFC North. He said every team got better, and we still have our entire hopes laying on the shoulders of the quarterback room of Deshaun Watson and finger-eating Jameis Winston and Tyler Huntley. But the most hopeful Browns fan amongst those I spoke to said, I wouldn't be surprised if, well, it's finally time to win some playoff games. I wouldn't be surprised if we get to the AFC Championship game. Let's turn now to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who were 10-7 in 2023. NFL.com identifies their team needs as offensive tackle, inside of that offensive line, wide receiver, cornerback, and defensive tackle. 7 picks with which to address their needs. The 20th overall pick in round number 1. They've got a second rounder, 2 in the 3rd, 1 in the 4th, and 2 in the 6th. Let's head out to the NFL Hall of Fans to hear from Steelers fans like Christian, who says his perfect draft includes getting a center and a cornerback and a wide receiver with picks 1, 2, and 3. His biggest source of pride is Mike Tomlin as the coach and Omar Khan as the general manager. And his biggest source of concern is the Steelers' wide receiver unit, outside, of course, of George Pickens. Steelers fan Jen says her perfect draft, you get an O-lineman at 20, and then on day two, you target a wide receiver and a cornerback. Her biggest source of pride, the terrible towel, who she reminded me was actually the thought of an old announcer named Myron Cope. He was asked to come up with a gimmick to get fans a little bit more involved, and so he said, hey, bring a yellow dish towel to the next game. And thousands of Steelers fans did just that. And obviously that gave way to what we now know as the terrible towel. Jen reminded me, she said, terrible towel's been all over. It's been in outer space. It's been all over the world. Babies, when they are born during the season, get wrapped in terrible towels when they are born. That's not a joke. That's real. She also said, don't mess with the towel, because if you do, you will be cursed, and history proves it. Look up the terrible towel curse, listener. I highly, highly recommend it. Jen's biggest concern, that Tomlin becomes Marvin Lewis and can't get over the hump and win a playoff game. Steelers fans said they wouldn't be surprised if we finish 10-7 again, somebody said. But hopefully it's easier to watch on offense. A playoff win does feel achievable. The most hopeful of all the Steelers fans I spoke to said, I wouldn't be surprised if my 2024 Pittsburgh Steelers make it to the AFC Championship game. And finally, let's turn to the Cincinnati Bengals, who were 9-8 in a down year in 2023. NFL.com identifies Bengals team needs as offensive tackle, defensive tackle, cornerback, wide receiver, and tight end. 10 picks with which to address their needs, including the 18th overall pick in round number one. They've got one pick in the second, two in the third, one in the fourth, one in the fifth, two in the sixth, and two in the seventh. What do Bengals fans have to say? Well, let's head on out to the NFL Hall of Fans and hear from Bengals fans like Alan, who says in his perfect draft, the Bengals select an interior pass rusher, an interior run stopper, a big running back, a versatile tight end, and with the new kickoff rules, a return guy too. He said, I wouldn't be mad if Brock Bowers fell to us at 18. Allen's biggest source of pride, the Bayou Bengals. That's Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and Trey Hendrickson. Allen's biggest source of concern, well, the rest of the division made big statements, bigger statements than we did this offseason, when you consider guys like Derrick Henry, Justin Fields, and Cordarrelle Patterson. Bengals fan Marcus says his perfect draft sees Braden Fisk replacing DJ Reader on the inside. He said Fisk looks like our type of player. He also wouldn't mind another solid, stellar wide receiver. Marcus's biggest concern is the possibility of losing recently tagged T. Higgins. And Bengals fan Ryan said, my perfect draft, plenty of pass rush help from the inside, a downfield tight end, a speedy pass-catching running back, and solid O-line depth. Ryan's biggest source of pride, those giant tackles on offense. But his biggest concern, that this roster is not currently built to stop the run, which seems like a really bad idea in the AFC North. And finally, when I asked Bengals fans to finish the following sentence, I wouldn't be surprised if my 2024 Cincinnati Bengals did what? One said, I wouldn't be surprised if T. Higgins signed a long-term deal. And I wouldn't be surprised if all four AFC North teams make the playoffs. The most hopeful of all said, I wouldn't be surprised if my Cincinnati Bengals make yet another healthy run at Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. So there you have it, listener. I want to thank my friends in the AFC North for sounding off today, and I'm curious for those of you out there listening with AFC North emotional entanglements, do you agree? A final thank you to today's guests, Mike Yam and Bridget Condon, and an invitation to you to join us next time when our countdown to the draft picks up in the NFC North. That's Lions, Packers, Vikings, and Bears. What do you guys need in the draft? What do you want in the draft? And are the answers the same? And what will you do this season? Is a worst-to-first turnaround in the cards for the Bears? Will the Lions run it back? Are the Packers ready to reassume the throne? Those are the questions. Let's get the answers next time. Till then, thank you for listening, and ciao for now.
Hold up.
NFL Total Access is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.